Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
We are going to be in James chapter 4, the last part, chapter 4, verse 13. Probably got a couple more messages left here in James. Probably maybe wrap it up next week. James chapter 4, verse 13, and then we're going into 5, chapter 6. Looking at what our attitude should be towards plans and riches. Plans and riches. James talks to his audience. We've covered quite a bit of ground in James. If I was to sum up James in one word, I would sum it up with what word, guys? Okay, my Wednesday night class should know it. It's direct. It's direct, yes. And he's talking about, he talks a lot about maturity in my mind, okay? Just dealing with, he's very black and white, very direct. He's dealing with people, the Jewish population that has scattered due to persecution that we see in Acts chapter 8. The church scatters, and he's writing not just to a single church, but more to a populace that has been scattered. And he's trying to connect with these people. So he talks about overcoming temptation and how that's important in us walking a mature Christian life. He talks about not only hearing the Word of God, but doing the Word of God. Okay, see, that's another mark of maturity. He talks about taking care of the widows and orphans, all right? There again, just a mark of maturity. He talks about favoritism and how that shouldn't be in the church. And again, another mark of maturity. He talks about faith and deeds. He talks about wisdom. All right. He talks about taming the tongue and how that's it's easier to tame a lion than maybe sometimes to tame that tongue. All right. It's one of the most difficult things, he said, that can be tamed. He talks about submitting our lives to God. And so in verse 13, he continues, in my mind, on this trek of maturity, of what it means to be a mature Christian. It can't probably be summed up in one word, what it means to be mature. But the heartbeat of James is that he says, great, you have faith. Now show me your actions that accompany your faith. If you really believe in God and you say that He's your Lord and your Savior, then it should be evident in how you speak. It should be evident in how you handle wisdom in your life. It should be evident in your day-to-day activities, how you speak, how you serve others. There should be that outflow. If there's no evidence, then James calls into question your faith. All right? So you have to counterbalance James and Paul. All right? Because they balance each other out. So James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Now listen. So he uses this phrase twice. Depends on your translation. He uses it again in verse 1 of chapter 5. Now listen. So it's kind of subjective. He's reasoning with them. Okay? Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to go to this and that city. We're going to spend a year here. Then we're going to carry on this business, and we're going to make money. Why do you even know? Why do you say these things? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Wow. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray you take it and apply it to our lives. In your name we ask, amen. Man, I want to pull three principles out of the verses we're going to cover here today. But in these first four, I don't think James is against planning. Okay? Let's get that just out of there. That I don't think James is against planning. We have to... A lot of us, tomorrow, we have to go back to work, right? If you're on a Monday through Friday schedule, or maybe you have to go back to work on Friday. Gil, you're thinking about the things you have to get done for tomorrow, right? All right? We have the projects, and we have planning. So James isn't against planning, per se. I think there's a lot of wisdom in planning. But that's not what James is upset about his audience with. He's upset that they are boasting about their plans. So it's just not that they're planning, but they're saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to go do this. Kind of bragging and boasting about these grand plans that they were going to go do, right? Oh, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to make a bunch of money, and I'm going to do that. And James says, you know what? That's evil. You're boasting about things that you have no control or power to fulfill or to complete. Now, we can make plans, and studies show that if you write out your plans, there is a great possibility you're going to fulfill those plans. Okay? Auto, compared to a person that doesn't plan, just kind of flies by the seat of their pants. Okay? All right? I know none of you do that. All right? So there is, studies have showed that if you plan and write out your goals and your dreams, that a large percentage of people actually fulfill them. Okay? But whenever you're going after dreams or goals or plans, only so much of that is in your control, isn't it? Right? Some of those things are in your control, but some of it isn't. Some of it's dependent upon other people. Some of it's dependent upon the economy. Some of it's dependent upon your health. Some of it is that you're here tomorrow and the next day. Right? And James says, you know what? You can boast all you want, but you have no idea what tomorrow holds. The stock market could crash, okay? Or it could do well. I'm not a doomsday person. You know, there's people out there, they live on that fear, right? That's what sells, right? But in the bottom line is we have no idea and we have no way to know what tomorrow holds, do we? We don't. We make plans. We can write out goals. But we always have to have in the back of our mind that that's what they are. There are plans and there are goals that in reality we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We plan, but you have to hold loosely to those things, don't you? He also says, other, that your life is a mist or a vapor. Right? If you go outside right now and you go, you might see your breath, right? It's there for a minute or, not even a minute, right? A couple seconds and it's gone. That's your life. Now, I don't want to be too negative. I mean, but in the light of eternity and in God's perspective, your life is a vapor. Here 1 minute, gone the next. And, you know, we can make all these dreams, we can make all these plans, but to go around boasting about things that we have not total control over is evil in the sight of God. And what I believe, James, we have to get God's attitude towards plans and God's will. And even just the idea of, I have plans, rather than, I have plans that I've submitted to God. There's a big difference. Dwayne talked about God being the king of our life, the Lord of our life. When we surrender our life to God, it means that I surrender my dreams, my plans, my finances, my time, my talent. I'm surrendering it all to Him. And He's in the driver's seat. So I can have plans, but I need to see, you know what, God, here's my plans. You know, it's kind of like the husband and wife, right? They're each planted separately, and all of a sudden one day they sit down and say, we have to compare notes, right? Sometimes you're on the same page, and sometimes you're on two different planets, right? Right? Come on. Some of you have been there, right? Right? And we can be that way with God. We can have all these things. God, I'm going to do this, 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 and God says, you know what? I have something totally else planned for your life, plans and purposes. The first principle in your notes there, and Hannah, you can pull that up there. Align your plans with God's will. Align your plans with God's will. Align. Now, how do we get to that place? How do we get to that place where we align our plans with God's will? Because I believe that God gave us this, you know, this mass up here for a reason and for a purpose, okay? To reason, to think, to plan. All right? And He put it up there for a reason, okay? Not just so that we have something up here, I think. But He gave us that ability to reason and to plan. I don't think He wants us to totally avoid that. But how can we align our plans with God's will? Well, I want to take us to a few passages. The one Gil read earlier, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, if you don't have that memorized, you should memorize it. That's your homework for this afternoon. All right? It should only take you less than an hour. Okay, if you're good, you can probably have it done in 10, 15 minutes. All right? Marcel will have it down in 5, right? Yes. Yeah. 3 hours. Oh, come on, Karen. All right. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what is it? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Okay? All your heart. That's just not talking about this organ right here. When it refers to your heart, it means all your life. Okay? Your emotions, your feelings, your plans, your heart. Okay? Your passion, the things you're passionate about. Lean not on your own understanding. Okay? It's not that we're not to use our understanding, but we're not to make that our sole. We don't know what tomorrow holds. God does. Okay, lean not on your own understanding, but, verse 6, in all your ways, submit them to God. In your prayer time with God, in your devotional time, say, God, hey, God, this is what's on my heart. How does that line up with what you're wanting to do? What do you think about that? Should I move? God, how should we handle our finances? I've been thinking about taking this trip. Plans and purposes. Thinking about doing this with my life. Submitting our plans to God. And what does God promise to do? He will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. He will make them straight. But see, it's that cooperation where I'm in fellowship with God and I'm saying, God, I have my plans, but God, what are you saying? Are my plans aligning with yours? And you know what? Honestly, I think the closer we get to God in our prayer time and in Scripture, I think the closer our plans are going to align with God's in the first place. Right? It's like the husband and wife that are having, they have their meals together and they go on their dates and they're talking in the fellowship. You know what? The more time that they spend together, the more they're on the same page. But we sometimes get busy, we get caught up in all this and that. And when you don't talk and you don't communicate, then all of a sudden you find out, okay, one was over here, one's over here. And then you talk about it, and you go, you have a train wreck, right? If you don't do it right. But when you spend time with God in prayer and His Word, it's amazing how our plans will align with God's plans just because we are spending time with Him. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed, or He will establish your plans. You know what? God cares about your plans. And God can make your plans succeed. Right? He can make your plans succeed. Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, talking to humans plan their course. But it is the Lord that establishes their steps. And Proverbs is very understanding that God has ultimate control. And when we surrender our plans to God and get His heart, you know what? There's a good chance that they're going to succeed. A mark of a mature Christian is that our plans align with God's. We take the time to seek God and make sure that there's alignment between our plans and His plans. Amen? And that's what James's audience was failing to do. They were just kind of, they got caught up. Somebody would say, well, I'm going to go to Paris and I'm going to go do some traveling. And so the other person's thinking, well, boy, my life's pretty boring. Well, I'm going to go do this, And they had all this talking going on where they had no power or control to make some of those things come to pass. And really, the motivation for sharing all that was what? It's to make themselves bigger, right? Oh, I'm important. I'm big. It wasn't about fulfilling God's will or His purposes or His plans. All right? Let's go on. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Now listen. Okay, so he brings up that same phrase. You rich people, weep and wail because your misery is coming upon you. Wow. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and your silver are corroded. The corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded wealth in the last days. You've hoarded wealth in the last days. And so James is very direct, as Otis would say, very direct. He said, you know what? You've hoarded. Now, there's a difference between saving and hoarding, isn't there? And as Christians, we have to find that balance. Now, Dave Ramsey will say, how much should you have saved up for an emergency account? How much? 6 months, you should have an emergency plan, and you begin with 1,000, right? You begin with 1,000, that's where you step one. And he would say, then you go and get a month's worth of income saved, and then gradually work up to 6 months. You know why? Because sometimes you do lose a job just for unexpected reasons. We've had several in our church that have gone through that. They come to work one day, and all of a sudden they say, you know what? Things have changed. We're not upset with you or anything, but we're having to cut back. Here's your notice, and glad you served us, but you need to find another job. Wow. You need to have some savings. Things break down. Cars. Have you ever noticed that cars break down? Right? That's what keeps Joe in business, right? Cars break down. Things wear out, right? They do. And you have to have an emergency plan, because if you're just hoping that things aren't going to break down, that's a little presumptuous. We have to have things saved. And for retirement, Dave Ramsey says you should save about 15% of your income for retirement. If you're banking on Social Security to take you through, I don't know if that's going to cut it. It might help, but I don't think it's going to carry you all the way through. So I think you need to plan, you need to save. But that's not what these guys were doing. They were hoarding. And hoarding means I'm going, right? Closed fist. Stuff's coming in, but nothing's going out, right? It's the closed fist. It's not the open hand. They were hoarding, keeping it to themselves. There was no generosity. The work of God probably was not doing well in those places, because they were keeping everything that they could have for themselves. They didn't care about their neighbors. They didn't care about other people that were in need around them. All they cared about was keeping everything for themselves. That's what somebody that hoards does. So the second principle, and he says that you're hoarding all this in light of the last days. So James has the idea that, you know what, the kingdom of God needs to go forward. There's people that need to get saved, and there's work that needs to be done, but instead of investing in the kingdom of God, you guys are keeping all your money for yourself. And the kingdom of God is not moving forward. And the day of the Lord, when he's going to return for his church and for those that love him, is getting closer. The principle I pull out of this is to give generously to God's kingdom. Proverbs would even say that, you know what, if I'm generous, God's going to pour back into my lap, right? Do you like people that kind of hoard stuff? Those people you want to hang out with and be buddies with? Somebody that's, what's another word for somebody that hoards? Tight. Yeah. Tight. Yeah, they just hold on to their money tight, right? Right? Not going to let anything go. Give generously to God's kingdom. What does Jesus have to say? Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. He says, do not, and it ties in perfectly with what James, and in fact, James is maybe thinking about what Jesus said when he says what he says, because it ties in perfectly with Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin, okay, destroy. Vermin are, you know, rats, mice, where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's a difference between savings and having money saved up even for retirement. There's a difference between that and hoarding money and seeing that as your treasure and as your heart. There's a difference. And Jesus says, you know what? We have to further the kingdom of God. And these guys were hanging on to their money so much so that their gold and their silver had corroded. Right? and weren't even using it. It was just sitting there, corroding, and they probably were going to die, and it was just going to be left there, either to rot, to rust. You know, the cousins or the whatever, the people, the relatives that get left behind get to fight over it. You ever seen that happen? Yeah, I see that. Yeah, it's amazing the funerals you perform and help out with, and the person dies, and they're already fighting about who's going to get what and what's left behind. And Lowell Lundstrom used to have he sang a song about it. He says, "I've never seen a Hertz pull a U-Haul trailer trucking down the road." In other words, you can't take it with you. Okay? You can't take all your possessions, put them in a U-Haul trailer, and right up to heaven, right? No. If you want your mansion up there, you have to start investing here on earth and sending it on ahead. Don't store up for your treasures here on earth. They're here just for a moment and for a time. We need to provide for our families. We need to provide for ourselves, food, housing. But we have to find that balance. Give generously above all to God's kingdom. The idea that is to be a steward of all that God has given us, whether it's our time, our talent, our resources. A steward realizes what? It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And I'm to be a steward. I'm supposed to rightly handle what He's entrusted into me. Whether it's talent, man, He's given you great talent. Use it for His glory. Don't keep it just to yourself. If He's given you a gift that you can use for the kingdom of God, use it. If He's given you time, then say, "I'm going to spend all my time doing the things that I want to do." When there's things that need to be done within the kingdom of God to further His kingdom, right? My money, you know what? God knows you need. He says that in that same passage in Matthew. God knows you need clothes. He knows you need food, all right? He takes care of the flowers and the animals. He provides for them. How much more is He going to take care of you? So we have to find that balance of being a good steward of all that God has for us. We're not to be a reservoir. What's a reservoir? Reservoir is, they put a dam in a river, right? And it keeps all the water in one place. And if you remember, was it 2 years ago, we got all the rain and the snowfall up in Montana, okay? And they had so much runoff that the reservoirs got full, and then they let it all out and they flooded everything downstream, right? It caused a lot of issues. They were keeping too much water and storing up too much. So now they keep the water level much lower, okay? Because some years they get too much. God hasn't called us to be a reservoir. He's called us to be a channel or a river that He can flow through to touch the world around us. I don't know. I think the one that we probably struggle with the most is in the area of finances. I'm not sure why. I think it's because our culture is so tied up in material things. And it's hard for us not to follow suit in that, to get tied up in earthly things. But we're to be a steward of it. God is to have our heart, not the things of this world. Frank and Bonnie Neuenberg, they were here last Sunday, retired couple. They're in their 80s now. But you know, at age 40, he quit agriculture here and went to Africa, him and Bonnie, for 30 years and invested their life. They hardly ever came back to the States to see family or friends. They gave their life, and they didn't even have a missionary budget. They kind of lived off of some other missions agencies helped them out while they were there, but they showed how the people in Africa and the countries that they were at, they showed them how to live off the land. They didn't have cows, they didn't have Angus or Herefords there, but they had water buffalo. So Frank says, "You know what? They're good to eat. Let's domesticate those rascals." All right? And so they raised herds of water buffalo that they could, like we have cattle here, that they could raise and have sustain their livelihood. How to plant crops, how to fertilize and do some of those things. That's what Frank did, and he helped out the church. He didn't have, now he does have some ministerial education. He took some religious study courses, but that probably wasn't his calling to be a pastor. But he used his agricultural experience to further the kingdom of God. And they gave themselves to the work of God. They came back. They don't have a lot, but they still have a generous heart. They still want to give, and you know, they've offered to take us out for a meal from time to time. It's kind of like, you guys are struggling taking care of medications and all that, but yet they still want to give. Because God has their hearts, not the things of this world. That's good. Verses 4 through 6. Look. It's actually an exclamation point there, so look! Okay? Woke some of you up. The wages you have failed to pay the workmen. Now we're finding a little bit more out about the story here. The wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on the earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. So now we get a little more of the story. See, they were not just hoarding, but they were getting wealthy and they were getting rich at the expense of others. They were having people do their business, carry out the, hire them to do work, and then when it came to pay them, saying, oh, you know what, I can't pay you today. Oh, how would that make you feel? Right? You work hard and they were doing the grunt work, right? Out there, out in the fields. And then it came time to get their paycheck, and they weren't getting paid. And these men, these business people were getting wealthy because of fraud. And they weren't paying their workers. They weren't treating them right. In fact, and then they were living in luxury, making sure that they were well fed. But the economy around them was struggling. There was people in need around them. And they could have been a blessing to others around them. Instead, they ignored the needs. And then even beyond that, they were cheating people that had fairly worked for them. And then they were practicing injustice. They were killing righteous people and mistreating them. Now, some wondered if James is even talking to Christian business people or if he's just talking to maybe they would embrace Judaism or Christianity, but really weren't. I don't know. But here these people were guilty of even murder and mistreating other people so that they could get further ahead. You know what? We see that in our world today, don't we? There's businesses and corporations out there that are being very successful. They're bringing in a lot of income, and the CEOs are making millions, but the people that are working for them are barely getting minimum wage. James. Right? So the third principle I see is be just in your business practices towards others. Be just in your business practices towards others. If somebody is working, if you're a business person and somebody works hard for you, pay them a fair wage, you know? They've helped you be successful. People should also join in that success. You know, Daniel, he does some yard work and stuff, and some of these retired people, I was kind of like, man, he gets paid better per hour than I do, right? But some of them are just, they treat them really well. It's kind of like when I mowed yards, I think I got, what, $5? I don't know, for mowing a yard, $5, $10, and he does much better than that. Times have changed, yes. But the people he's working for are treating him fairly, even above and beyond. The wealthy hoarded their riches, and worse yet, they became wealthy at the expense of others. And if you read through the minor prophets are, there's about at least nine of them. There's more than that. It's escaping me right now. At the end of your Old Testament, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Malachi, Ezekiel. Ezekiel is kind of in the middle there. But it's towards the Old Testament period. And Micah and Amos both talk about what is a popular term now, social injustice. And in Micah chapter 6, again, people that would consider themselves part of Israel, would consider themselves religious and believers, were not treating people fairly. They were getting rich off of the expense of others, and enduring times of difficulty, they were self-indulging and hoarding. And this is what God speaks through the prophet Micah in chapter 6, verse 8. Maybe you've heard it. It says, "This is what the Lord has told you, O man or woman, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy or kindness, and to walk humbly before your God?" What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to treat people justly, to love mercy, to show kindness, and to walk humbly before our God? And in those Old Testament periods there, right before the New Testament times, there wasn't a lot of law and justice maybe, and people could get away with things. But you know what? It doesn't escape God. God is the judge. God sees it all. And God hears the prayers of people that are not treated justly, whether it's here in America or other parts of the world. God hears the cries. And there will be a day that He settles accounts, whether it is on this earth or in the world to come. He will settle accounts. But Micah says, "What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God?" You know, one of the Christmas classics that if you turn on the TV at Christmas or go to Silver Dollar City or someplace, one of the Christmas classics that you may see is what? The Scrooge. Yeah, the Scrooge, right? He lived this, right? He was a wealthy man, but he hoarded it. He wasn't generous, and he even had people working for him that were very poor and had needs, had a son that had special medical needs. Instead of helping out and being generous to share some of his wealth, he kept it to himself, right? Had no compassion, no mercy, until these ghosts, these spirits of Christmas came and visited him, and he saw his future and his past and scared him. And through the process, his life has changed, right? And he realized, you know what, it wasn't all about him, and he got his joy back, for one thing, but he also then learned to give and to be generous. You know, to be thought of as a Scrooge is not a good thing, folks. But James was dealing with believers that fell in that category, and God had to set them free. This morning, we have the musicians come. James calls us as a mature Christian. Some of the marks, we've talked about speech, wisdom, just what we do, our acts of service. But it even comes down to aligning our plans with God's will and giving generously to His kingdom. Now, I think Josh had, and I'm not going to give names, I think I maybe know who it is. But Josh took kids to youth convention last weekend, and so they challenged the kids to give towards Speed Delight, okay, to help missions. And I believe one of the young fellows was so challenged by it, he did what? He took all the money that mom or dad had given him and put it in the offering. Great thing to do, right? But he still had a day and a half. He still had a day and a half to have meals for. You know, so he didn't have any food. So they had to take care of him, make sure that he didn't go hungry. I don't think God was wanting us to do that. He knows that we need to eat. He knows we need to pay the utility bills. He knows that. There's a difference between hoarding and giving generously, though, and providing for our needs. And I believe the God of all wisdom is able to guide us. You know, tithing 10%, that's a good rule of thumb. But I believe the New Testament pattern that Paul calls them, he says, give generously. As you sow, you're also going to reap. JCPenney, we've all shopped maybe at JCPenney. How many have shopped at JCPenney? He was a Christian man. Started off tithing, giving 10%. God blessed him, blessed his business. So he said, you know what? I have plenty to live on. I'm going to start giving 20%. You know what? God blessed him even more. He says, man, I don't need all this. I'm going to give 30%. 40%, 50%. God kept blessing. By the end of his life, it is reported that he was giving 90% and living off of 10. Now, the 10% he was maybe living off of was maybe more than what we make, okay? But he was a channel that God could flow through. And God says, you know what? If I was God, who would you want to give money to? Somebody that hoarded it, kept it all to themselves, or somebody that was a river in a channel? Who would you want to, if you were God? Channel that he could flow through. Whether it's our time, whether it's our money. And to be just in all that we do. Submit your plans to him. Your time, your talent, your finances. Have that daily time with God and get into his word and prayer time so that all those things line up and mesh together. You can't take anything with you. You know, I've known too many people that have lived this world and they've even saved up. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with saving up. Plan for retirement. But you know what? Can I give you my little short 1 minute thing on retirement? I believe that we retire. At some point, we need to retire from our secular work. But I don't think we ever retire from the work that God has given us. I don't care if you're 80, 90. You know, Joyce, she's getting up there, but she's still here most Sundays. She's still helping out, using her gifts and talents in the kitchen or wherever on Wednesday nights doing crafts. See, it's... So retirement in a secular sense, but I don't think we ever retire from God using us and giving what he's entrusted us to be part of his kingdom. Delight yourself in him. You know what? If we did that, if we delighted ourselves in God, it takes care of all these questions. Your plans are going to align. You're going to give generously. And you're going to treat others fairly. Because ultimately, you want to do what is pleasing in his sight. Amen? Would you stand this morning? We're going to close with that course. I believe we learned it a week or two ago, overwhelmed by Big Daddy Weave. I think is who wrote it. That's not his real name. That's the name of his musician name. But Gil and Emily, if you'd join me at the front. Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me over here. And if you have a need or prayer request this morning, I encourage you to come and we'll pray with you, agree with you. But would you also just spend some time and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and life and what James has to say. Say, how am I doing? Do my plans align with him? Am I being generous or am I kind of tight-fisted? And do I treat others fairly? You know, there's some people, I want to get paid what's fair, but when it comes to doing the same thing, then they're stingy. Give as you would want to be given to. Amen? Amen. Let's close with this course. If you have a need this morning, come forward. Just make an altar where you're at this morning.